This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Oh, what a wonderful day we are having today. We thank God for you joining us right here on Faith Talk Podcast. I am your host, Lolita Jones. It is a great honor and pleasure to still be in the land of the living, serving the great and wonderful and mighty God, the creator of heaven and earth and all mankind. We thank God for you joining us right here. And do we have a word for you? Yes, we are continuing our 30-day consecration. This, we are going into our third week, and God has been blessing us. God has been restoring us. God been cutting off some of this flesh. We thank God for Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We thank God for Jesus. Yes, is there a word from the Lord? Yes, there is a mighty word from God. Oh, I ask you right now to take your notebooks and grab your Bible and your pens and your pencils. Get ready to take notes. Oh, my great friend. Oh, she's my childhood buddy. Oh, God, she had mentored me in the faith, and I praise God for her anointing that's upon her life, but it didn't come easy. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I present to some and I introduce to others, none other than Evangelist Valerie Matthews. She about to come with a word from the Lord. Get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready to receive your breakthrough. God bless you.
Good evening to everyone. I've counted a privilege and an honor to be asked to share on this evening. Thank you, my sister, my friend since childhood. So glad for all that God is doing for you and in your life and in your family. I will not belabor the time. I am going to John, chapter 9, verses 1, 2, and 3. And it says, as he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents? I'm reading out of the NIV, that he was born blind. Neither this man, Jesus answered, neither this man or his parents sinned. But this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. That's the NIV. The New English Version says that it happened, that these acts of God, so that these acts of God may be revealed through what happened to him. And my question to you is, what has happened to you? What has happened to you to make you ask the question, did I sin? Did I miss God? Is this a generational curse? Many times as saints, and depending on what your position is in the church, if you're holding up, you know, you're one of those high people in one of those high positions, many times we think we're supposed to be exempt from the trials and tribulations of life. We're so quick to rebuke the devil. Well, I came to tell you tonight, everything ain't the devil. Everything ain't the devil. Sometimes there's no demon to be rebuked. Sometimes God set the storm. I can go down through my life and tell you of the many storms that I've faced, and I've questioned God, and I've rebuked devils, and nothing changed. Only to realize in hindsight that it was God all along, because when I came out different than when I went in. As a child, my father was killed in front of us in the front yard. My sister was standing there in the door. I'm standing in the living room. And the man came up and shot and killed him right there in the front yard while we stood in the living room. I grew up for many years wondering why. Life got really, really hard and really, really tough after my daddy died. And I suffered many things you know, molestation and, you know, rape and these kind of things that happened in my life. And I thought to myself, God, if my daddy had been here, then I wouldn't have suffered these things. As I went on in life, I had given my heart to God at a very early age, and I met Jesus all the way. And I wasn't shucking and jiving, and I wasn't in and out of the church. And I thought, if I give God everything, then all the bad stuff will go away. That just wasn't true. I'm going to say like the young people be saying, life just be lifing. And some things happen to us. It's not because of what we did or what we didn't do. It's so that God can be manifested in us. His glory can be manifested in us. Some things we're going to have to suffer. And I know we don't want to hear that. We got scriptures for everything about how God going to bring us out and take us over and we're going to live on the mountaintop. And we're going to do all of that. But some things, some storms, I have cried and held my heart in my hands. I have balled up in my bed and cried and sobbed like a wounded animal because of the things I've suffered, the things I've had to go through, the storms I've had to face. You've been there. You know, you hear all the other people testifying about, you know, how wonderful this is and that is, and, you know, their husbands are perfect, and, you know, and their children are perfect, and they got straight A's in school, and they get full scholarships, and, you know, and my mom was the perfect mom, and my dad was the perfect dad, and this is the picture we paint, especially when you look at Facebook and these kind of things. You know, everybody puts their best foot forward. That ain't my testimony, and I haven't tried to display that. I have suffered, and I've gone through things. When you have to cast demons out of your own family members, when you have had to walk away from the mental institution and leave a family member behind, when you have had to go into the hospital and sit beside the bed of a loved one that is dying, and there's no demon to rebuke, but that God would get the glory and be manifested throughout it all. When the finances don't come and you lose the car or you lose the house, we don't see the glory in that. We'll shout long as everything's going good. But when things go wrong and it don't turn and it don't shift when we want it to the way we think it should, we start questioning, where is God? Where is God? I just know, I mean, I'm saved. I love the Lord. I speak in tongues. Where is God? God can't be allowing this. Maybe you're one of those people that God volunteered up like he did Job. Have you considered my servant Job? I had to come to the conclusion that maybe God said, have you considered my servant Valerie? I was told so many times growing up, oh, you're anointed, you're anointed, oh, you're anointed. And I didn't really understand what that meant. You know, we think being anointed means that every time we open our mouths, you know, the earth is going to shake and God is going to move in a miraculous way. I found out God had anointed me to suffer. God had anointed me to suffer. I went through things that I couldn't even testify about. I went through things that there was no one to call to talk to about because they couldn't relate. Not that I was the only one that had been through it, but I didn't know anybody in my circle, in my church, who had been through what I had been through. And I was lonely, and I was desperate, and I was angry. But God, as time goes on, it's one hardship after the next. And I think to myself, God, where are you? Did
that I missed you? Are you mad at me?
Barbara McGee.
And
I remember being in a service, a youth service at my church, and the young man that we had to come and minister, he had an awesome word. And I really enjoyed the speaker, but I kind of enjoyed him, kind of. You know, I enjoyed him. He had a good word. It was well put together. But because I was suffering and going through so bad, it's so much mental anguish, so much emotional turmoil, that I was praying and begging God to take my life. God, just take me. I don't want to be here no more. There's nothing left for me. I have suffered too long and too hard, and I am ready to leave. I'm not going to take my own life, but if you'll just take me. I was begging him for it. And God had to tell me, you're going to die, but it's not the death that you think it is. I was looking for physical death so I could be with my spiritual father in heaven. But God was saying to me, I need your soul to die. I need your flesh to die. I need your mouth to die. I need that negativity, those thoughts, that depression. I need that to die. That's what I'm after. That's what I'm killing. And with every test and with every storm that I went through, God was taking more out of me that was not like him. He was killing it. And with every storm, he was putting more of himself in me. I couldn't see it when I was going through it. I was completely out of control. I needed to be in control of my life. I had plans and I had things I wanted to do. And you know how people have their 5-year plan and their 10-year plan. And you know, I had things I wanted to do. And God said, you told me yes. I'm like, I know I told you yes, but I mean, yes and do, I mean, yes, and can I still do what I want to do? Can I still have what I want to have? Didn't work like that. That first yes was to salvation, but he's come after many more yeses since then. And every yes costs you something. Every yes costs you something. We brag about, oh, we're chosen, we're chosen. Yes, you are chosen. You know what you're chosen for? You're chosen to be responsible. You're chosen to be accountable. You're chosen to die to yourself and live to God. That's what we're chosen for. We think being chosen is, you know, all the privileges and all the honors. That's not what the chosen is. I lived it long enough to find out for myself. So when that young man got up and he began to minister, I enjoyed him to a point, but I was suffering so bad, I was sitting there saying, you have no idea. I just want to leave here. And he came off the platform, and he began to prophesy as the people came around the altar. And I was helping on the altar. You know, I'm altar worker. I was helping on the altar. I did not want a prophecy because down through the years, every time I received one, behind that came stuff, hardship, hurt. Something came behind it. It cost me something. And so I wasn't looking to be prophesied to. In fact, I'd already told God, I said, I don't want to hear another prophecy. Don't let nobody say the next person prophesied to me, I got something for them. That's what I said. And that young man was prophesying, and he was laying hands on people. And while I'm standing there trying to assist, he turned right around and looked at me. And he said, woman of God, he said, it's been hard. He said, the struggle has been hard. And this is what let me know. This is how I knew he was a bona fide prophet. He didn't prophesy no new house, and I needed one. He didn't prophesy a new car, and I needed one. He didn't prophesy a new job, more money. He didn't prophesy any of that. He said, the struggle has been hard. He said, but there's a storm yet to come. He said, and God told me to anoint you for the storm that's about to come. He said, God's going to give you strength to get through the storm. And I wept because I thought to myself, how much more can I take? How much more can I take? I was mentally, emotionally weak. But then here comes God. My husband got sick. My daughter got sick. We had to bury a grandbaby. It was just one thing after another. And then on top of all of that, then God comes to me and he says, leave your job and go home and take care of your husband. I was making more money than I've ever made in my life. We were comfortable. We had just moved into a new house. We were doing good. I didn't have to worry about anything. I had to ask anybody for anything. All of our needs were met, finally. And God says, leave your job and go home and take care of your husband. And I sit there and I thought about that thing. And I said, really? Did I hear God? Is that God? That can't be God. That can't be God. But down in my soul, in my heart, I knew, in my spirit, I knew. I know the voice of God. And I said, okay. I said, okay, Lord, if that's what you want me to do. And when I talked to my job and found out, you know, I was had a retirement package and how much it was, I was like, oh, wow, you know, we're set. We'll be good. And little did I know, I had paid off all my bills, paid off my car, you know, had just my house note. It's just your regular stuff, your utilities, you know, your cell phone bill. Well, good. About a year later, everything was gone. All that money was gone. And here I was looking in the face of God saying, what am I going to do? God, what am I going to do? I'm in a financial crisis. What am I going to do? And God said to me, talk to me the way I talk to him. He said, I got you. I said, you got me. I said, well, how is this going to work? Now, I've had faith for many things, and I've trusted God for many things. But to come home from a job with no income, no resources to tap, but you still got a mortgage to pay, still got to put gas in the car, you still got to buy groceries, still got to keep the lights on. I had no idea how God was going to sustain us. And God began to touch people's hearts that knew I was at home being a caregiver. And people began to bless and pour seeds into our lives. And I thought to myself, God, how is it that you're doing this for me? I've never seen this. I've never heard this. I had a young lady that's not even saved. She grew up in the church, left the church, out there trying to, you know, find her dreams and live her best life. And this young lady walks up to me in the store, and she says, you know, I tithe all my food stamps. She said, I'm going to tithe my food stamps to you next month. I looked at her. I was like, what? Who does that? She was paying, not in the church, but still paying tithes to church and even paying tithes off of her food stamps. And she called me one day and said, meet me at the store. I got you. I'm sharing that to say this. The storm may be hard. It may be long. It may last way longer than you expected to. You may feel completely out of control of your life. Your children, you done prayed over them and fasted over them and kept them in church, and your children's still ended up out there on the streets. They still ended up in a gang. They still ended up on drugs. They still ended up in jail, in prison. The storms of life. What are we going to do? Do we doubt God? No, we start looking inward. What did I do? What did I do wrong? Did I miss God? How can I fix this? How can I change this? The storm is not for you to fix. The storm that God's in, you can't fix it. You got to endure it, and you got to go through it. God has already graced us to go through the storms of life. He's already given us grace. He's given us strength to face the hard days of tomorrow. We feel so inadequate many times. But God doesn't ask much of you. He asks you to give him a yes. He asks you to give him a righteous life. Give him that and watch him do the rest. So I just want to encourage you tonight. There's so much more to my story. I'm actually going to try to write a book. But there's so much more to my story, and some I can't even share yet because I'm still in some stuff. And I got family members that are still going through some stuff, and I can't share their story before they share it. But when I tell you, God is after the inside of us to kill and destroy all of this that we have in mind for what we want to do with our own lives. It ain't about you. It ain't about you. This is bigger than you. This is about God being revealed in the earth. This generation is hungry for spiritual things. They're searching and they're looking, and they're finding everything but God. They're finding yoga, and they're finding New Age, and all these different things that they're finding and stumbling upon. Because the saints sitting back with their mouth shut. We won't say none to these young people, to older people too. We won't say none to them. And they're lost and they're searching. And the devil is waiting. Oh, I got something for you. We have young people who grew up in the church and left and went off to live their lives. And now they call themselves spiritual. They're not saved. I know y'all call themselves a spiritist. They're doing sound baths and yoga and all and studying astrology. You know, this is Virgo season. This is that season. All of this stuff from the saints, too. Some people who've grown up in church and known God all their lives, but the storms of life drive them to find and look for something bigger, something stronger than themselves to get them through life. We as the church, we have to know who we are in God and know who our God is so that we can be available. There is no part of my life that I'm not willing to share. And I share mostly, you know, one-on-one. In groups of women and stuff like that. I'm not looking to be on nobody's platform. I'm not looking to be on nobody's pulpit. If God opens that door somewhere down the line, right now I'm taking care of my husband. I help to take care of my mama. I'm raising a grandson. I'm looking after other family members that need me because of their physical and mental limitations. That's my assignment right now. But we have to understand who we are and who our God is. He's not a mean God. He's a good God. And if God allows the storm, he allows the storm for a reason. This man didn't sin. His parents hadn't sinned. I wonder how many times he had thought to himself, Lord, did I do something wrong? Are you mad at me? Did my grandparents do something wrong? Am I being punished? A storm. I don't know how old the man was. I don't know how long he had been blind. But some of us been blinded. And we've been blinded for a long time. And we're wondering, God, where are you? What did I do to cause this? You did nothing. It was just a wreck. It was just a fire. Sometimes there's nobody to blame. Sometimes it's just life. But as Christians, as those who love God and confess God and talk to God every day, all day, we don't go through storms like other people do. We shouldn't. Because we have a hope. We have a hope. The scripture that talks about, I think it's talking about dying, and it says, you know, we don't grieve like other people grieve, like we ain't got no hope. Well, while you dying, your emotions, that soulish realm of you, those negative thoughts that you sit up and feed, all the negative things and stuff that you watch and listen to that feed all of this negativity and ungodly things into your soul. As that stuff dies, you may grieve it. That, yes, may cause you to grieve. But as that stuff dies, we don't grieve as those who grieve with no hope. They were talking about physical. I'm talking about spiritual. We don't grieve as those who have no hope. We're going to be resurrected. We will rise again. So I just came to encourage you. Don't give way to the storm. The storm came, and it came with a purpose. Every storm can't be rebuked. Some things you're going to have to go through. To the woman who has a child that's dyslexic or a child that's Down syndrome or born with some other kind of physical ailment, God may not touch them and give them a miraculous healing. You may have to adjust yourself. Let something die in you. Now, as a parent, let me talk about shame and guilt. When our children don't turn out perfect, the shame and guilt of that, we don't want nobody to know. Our kids got issues because we think that gives me a bad report card. It looks like I'm a bad parent if my child ain't perfect. And then I turn around and I see people who've been on drugs and their children turn out wonderful. They're doing great. And we look at them and say, why not my child? I'm saved and I love God. There's something God is trying to kill in us as to why some of the storms we face come. We have to see God. We have to expect God in every storm. This is the year, everybody's saying, of expectancy. I expect God. I expect to see God manifest himself in every storm I face. I expect to see God. I've seen him do it before. I've seen miracles with my own eyes. I have a God sister in St. Louis that's been in a wheelchair for 16 years. She's up walking and running and doing whatever she wants to do like anybody else now. Doctors don't even have an explanation for it. They don't know why. And I said to her, I said, what if all of this was just a test? I said, what if that's all this was? Just a storm. To see how you would go through. And she testified that God had to come after some stuff inside of her. And 16 years later, she got up out of that wheelchair, and she is not the same person she was when she went into it. Get the benefit of the storm. Let the storm do in you what it's supposed to do. We're going to face some storms this year. When your storm comes, discern whether or not this is a storm from God to teach you something, to kill something in you. He's after that inward stuff. You know those iniquities, those things we had? People be like, oh, you're so sweet. You just sow this, you sow that. They don't know how mean you are when you ain't at church. They don't know how hateful you are. They don't hear them ugly words you speak when you're not at church. They don't see you, you know, sitting up gossiping on the phone, talking about people. They don't see none of that. And we get caught up on the accolades of people telling us how wonderful we are. The storm comes to reveal you. The storm comes to reveal to you who you really are. I slammed my finger. Hadn't slammed my finger in a door in probably 30, 40 years. And slammed my finger in the door. I don't know how it happened, but it almost took my nail off. It hurt so bad. And my grandson was just standing there. He's just looking at me. And then he said to me later, he said, "You didn't even say anything." I said, "There was nothing to say." I thought about it later. I said, "Lord, I remember the day. Something catching me off guard. Tough word would come straight out." And then I said, "God, I thank you for growth. Because storms of life have mellowed me out. And I realized that cussing ain't going to fix none. It don't make the pain go away. So even under pressure, that's when we really see where we are under pressure. When things happen and catch you off guard, what's coming out of your mouth then? How you thinking? How you thinking?" I'm going to close this. I hope I said something that encouraged you. Because this year we're going to face some storms. I'm not expecting a bad year. But I know, as the young people said, life keeps life. And some storms going to come, and there's going to be some things and some days that things are going to happen that are not going to go my way. And I pray that I can discern and know whether or not this storm is of God or whether this is something I need to be rebuking and praying against. If this is a demon I need to be casting out. But my prayer is that you will know that whatever, if God has called you, and he's called you, if you're a child of God, you've been called. If God has called you, he's given you grace for the storm, and he's given you grace for the call. So my prayer as I close is a song that I heard a little while ago that just blessed my soul and just took me right on into the presence of God. And tears just began to roll down my face as I began to sing along with what I heard. This is my prayer for you. May you find peace in your suffering. You've been graced. You've been graced. May you find strength when you are weak. You've been graced. You've been graced for the call. May you find joy in your sorrow. You've been graced. You've been May you find joy in your sorrow. You've been great. 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 For your call. God bless you.
Ooh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. How many enjoyed Evangelist Valerie McClellan Matthew?
Did you enjoy that word? Ooh.
Oh, Lord, I found myself all in that word on tonight. I have a completely different perspective and a completely different respect for that man in John chapter 9, verses 1 through 3. Oh, we got to bear the storm. We got to pray through the storm. We got to know that God is going to get glory while we're going through the storm, in the storm, while the storm have us. But I thank God that he said in his word, I will never leave you, nor forsake you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. God is so good. I'm sorry to get excited, but this word got me excited. It got me stirred up on right now. And I just bless God for Evangelist Valerie Matthews. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, sister. I appreciate you, my sister. I appreciate you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I ask you to connect with us. Yes, you that's listening right now. I ask you to connect with us on our Facebook page, Life Changers Ministries, LCM. Yes, right there. You will get morning devotion on our Facebook page and also on our website, LolitaJonesLive.com. LolitaJonesLive.com. Yes, you can hear the other podcasts. You can read our morning devotions. You can find out what's going on with Life Changers. This is our 25th year. Yes, doing the work of the Lord. Oh God, this is our 25th year. So I ask you to please pay attention to our website, because we will have some great information coming up in the next couple of weeks, because our Faith Talk conference is coming up in April. Thank you, Jesus. And we have other conferences on the horizon, and most of all, our anniversary. Yes, we are celebrating 25 years for Life Changers. It was 25 years ago. April will be 25 years that the Lord told me, when my son was on complete life support, when my son, the doctor said he was dead, his brain was dead, his liver, lungs, and kidneys were swollen. Hallelujah. They was talking about amputating his leg. Hallelujah. They had these little like beehives over his eyes because his eyes had already come out of the sockets. Oh, he was dead. He was lifeless, laying in the hospital on his deathbed. But I serve a God. You got to get my book. You got to get my book. There's healing in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ, be healed. You will find there's a link right on the website. You will find it right there. Order the book because you will be blessed by it. But we thank God for you. You can also follow us on pray.com under Life Changers Ministries. Let's see where else you can follow us at. Yeah, right here. Listen and subscribe right here on the podcast. We are on every platform. Wherever there's a podcast, we are on that platform. It's under Faith Talk. That's how you found us this evening. It's under Faith Talk. And until tomorrow morning at 6 a.m., continue to enjoy the blessings of the Lord. Y'all join in with us for our morning prayer at 6 a.m. And then join us again tomorrow evening at 6 p.m. Hallelujah, because we're praying and seeking the face of God. Hallelujah. We're praying for all mankind. We're praying for the will of God to be done in the earth. We're praying for evidence and the manifestation of God's will to be performed in the lives of his children. But most of all, we just want God to just do a visitation. Hallelujah. Do you want a visitation from the Lord? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Join us tomorrow at 6 a.m. and again at 6 p.m. right on our conference call line. And until then, continue to enjoy the blessings of the Lord. God bless you.